Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. It's about education in Jamaica. The big question is it now time for educational reform in Jamaica? Is it now time, yes, to draft up new lessons and change the teaching method? Their recommendation, Anthony Turner, that has come all the way from Ireland, Finland, and Singapore. But we would like to know from a principal in Jamaica, Anthony, is it time to draft up new lessons? Our guest has arrived. Anthony, please introduce our guest.
Well, Rascal, our special guest on Mic Check this morning, his name is Wayne Robinson, and he's the current principal of Jamaica College in Kingston, and he has been an educator since 1983. He was educated at the University of the West Indies, where he pursued a first degree in zoology and chemistry, and Western Carolina University, where he completed graduate studies in educational leadership and supervision. At Jamaica College, where he was a student, he was the deputy head boy. He was company sergeant, major of cadets, and represented the school in cricket, football, and table tennis. He is a past president of the Jamaica Independent Schools Association, and for over 18 years, he was instrumental in the development of the association and its secretariat through constitutional reform, representation on various national and Ministry of Education committees, and was a visible leader and voice of the private education in Jamaica. He has served as a member of the Overseas Examination Commission, OEC, for over 15 years and was the chairman of the Finance and Human Resource Committee, guiding the financial success and development of that body. Mr. Robinson was a member of the National Task Force on Training, preparing Jamaica's strategic plan for development for the year 2030, and a member of the committee responsible for creating the guidelines and standards for school-based assessment in the CXC examination. He's, of course, currently serves on the board of the Vocational Training Development Institute. So we welcome Mr. Wayne Robinson, the current principal of Jamaica College.
Good morning, Mr. Robinson. How are you? Mr. Robinson? I think we have lost Mr. Robinson there, Anthony, and you could continue talking there for a moment. Let me try and get him back on the line. This conversation, Anthony, we have to have it. Post-colonial Jamaica, the education that we have been absorbing over the last umpteen of years. Speak about that for a moment. Let me get Mr. Robinson back on the line.
Yes, Rascal, boy, this is our conversation that we actually started a few weeks or months ago, this topic about educational reform, especially in our high schools in Jamaica, and we continue to perpetrate some lies, things that we know are not correct, but the curriculum has not been adjusted to showcase the real truth. So we're just so happy that this morning we've been trying to get Mr. Robinson for some time, and he has finally agreed to join us this Saturday morning for this very important discussion. I mean, there are a number of questions that I have for Mr. Robinson about the whole, you know, some of the things that are taught in schools in Jamaica. And some of it is not just even at high school level. We're talking at the tertiary level in Jamaica, at the University of the West Indies, the UTEC, and some of the other tertiary institutions in Jamaica. And my feeling about the whole thing is that if you know something is correct and you don't make the necessary adjustments, then you are perpetrating a lie. So, and this is something that it's not even just unique to Jamaica, because, I mean, we know, for example, that we've heard about Christopher Columbus being discovering the New World, and the history books reflect that information, and we saw in recent years that, you know, some of the statues of Christopher Columbus toppled, not just here in the U.S., but in England.
Indeed, indeed. Our guest has arrived again, Anthony Turner. So we say once again, welcome to Mr. Wayne Robinson, the acting principal of Jamaica College. Good morning, Mr. Robinson.
Good morning, sir, and good morning to your listeners.
Indeed, indeed. Post-colonial education in Jamaica. Not only that, recommendations has come as far away from Ireland and Finland and Singapore, but Mr. Orlando Patterson, yes, he has a 300-plus page education reform there in Jamaica, asking for education reform. First question, Mr. Robinson, as I welcome you to this conversation. Is it now time for educational reform in Jamaica?
There's no better time than now, sir. A number of things have taken place in the world over the last, I'd say, 2.5 years that are significant markers and milestones in our world history. COVID, a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Black Lives Matter, another big one. Fourth Industrial Revolution going on now. There's a war going on in the Ukraine. All of those things have affected us worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, so education has to now metamorphosize
mm-hmm.
into a relevance of what we know now as truth, and a relevance into what obtains now in for the development of the future of those who we have stewardship over.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there is no better time than now.
Mm. We look at the education post-colonial Jamaica, a confounding island. We look at the education that have been given to us. And if we say over the last 60 years of nationhood, we realize that there were some wrongs in there that we should know right, make it right. Why is it so difficult, though, Mr. Robinson, for us to accept that what we have been taught, a lot of the stuff that we have been taught over the years, are not right? But we continue to have these things in textbooks that we're giving to our students. What kind of future are we building in that way then? Because you mentioned Black Lives Matter movement. You mentioned a war in the Ukraine. You mentioned all these things. And those issues, especially when you look at, and I don't want to use the Black Lives Matter movement and the war in the Ukraine in the same sentence, my bad. Because what the Black Lives Matter movement was asking for is to stop the injustice that we have been faced. But it also opens up eyes of millions of people around the world, like in Jamaica, to say that our Governor General is wearing something on his uniform that is not supposed to be there. That's depicting a white man standing on the black man's neck and all that. We know that Christopher Columbus did not discover Jamaica, but those things are still in our textbook. Why so? Why?
So, and you're hitting at the core of it, and that is, first, we must continue our advocacy as I said, as truth comes out,
mm-hmm.
as we struggle to make the change to the status quo, we must continue our advocacy on the ground. In terms of the policymakers,
mm-hmm.
we must not or stop or relentless hitting on the doors of the policymakers.
Mm-hmm.
And those policymakers, whether they be the government of the country, the Ministry of Education, the private and public sector, the psyche of the country,
mm-hmm.
our responsibility is to continue to beat for this change.
Mm-hmm.
Because had not somebody pointed out, for example, that the what is depicted on the emblem of the Governor General is a white man standing on a black man's neck.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been left as a kind of obscure, something that people have not seen or paid attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And while it is a symbol, it is a symbol depicting what we have gone through, and are we going to continue having that symbol as it goes past the symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks to, as you said, what we continue to teach. If we know now that it is wrong. Mm-hmm. We are stuck in a kind of old time, time warp zone that we have to wrench ourselves from. It is, and we are complaining to the British, for example, the monarchy, mm-hmm. that while there have been lukewarm apologies for their role in this, and see, there's an Indian Prime Minister now, we are saying to them, there's no sign of any reparation, mm-hmm. no talk of it, nothing at all, and we are chastising, berating, and continuing to pressure and making our voices heard about this. Mm-hmm. Yet we have our own things that we have to fix at home. Mm-hmm. So you are correct, mm-hmm. our policymakers, and when I say policymakers, it really includes all of us. Mm-hmm. Because while there are policymakers that do the changes of the content and the syllabus, mm-hmm. we have advocated for content change when we've seen things that we find are inimical to our views, so we need to continue to advocate for these content changes. Mm.
As the acting principal there at Jamaica College, have you seen...
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
As the acting principal there at Jamaica College, have
You're breaking up.
Yeah. Have you seen the Orlando Patterson report?
I've read it.
You've read the report. Your thoughts on that report, sir?
Comprehensive report. Mm-hmm. With a lot of relevance. Mm-hmm. There are areas that could need more work, mm-hmm. but again, I have a lot of respect for Mr. Patterson's scholarship and review. Where it is now today, mm-hmm. it took into consideration a period that was maybe 7 years ago, ended 7 years ago. It actually needs to continue into now because things have actually changed since then, and there are things that need to be done since then. Mm-hmm. But it is the best thing we've had so far.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Turner, the ball is now in your court.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Robinson. Thanks for joining us this Saturday morning. Now, Rasklem raised a number of misinformation that we've fed to our citizens of Jamaica. And one of the most glaring lie and misinformation that we continue to perpetuate by the government of Jamaica, by historians, scholars, teachers in our school system, is the picture that we use of Jamaica's national hero, Paul Bogle.
Paul Bogle, oh yeah.
Which we now know, and just to educate our listeners, that picture is Mr. Thomas L. Jennings, who was actually the very first African-American to receive a patent here in the U.S. The year was 1821. I would love to know who came up with that picture, first of all, and why do we continue to perpetuate it? Is it just because of economics?
Mr. Robinson?
Are you hearing me, gentlemen?
Yes, we're hearing you now. Go ahead.
Right. I can't give you answers for the first question. Mm-hmm. What I heard as an excuse when the thing came out first. Mm-hmm. We were made aware... And I don't want to be precise, but some years ago, mm-hmm. that this was actually Thomas Jennings' picture. Mm-hmm. Because when we were growing up in primary school, that was Paul Bogle to us. When we were made aware and asked, why would this be perpetuated? How did this come about? Mm-hmm. We were told that there was no picture of Paul Bogle. And somewhere in somebody's mind, they saw this picture and aligned it, used it as what they thought was a depiction and a representation. The truth is, it's plagiarism, a rubber man picture. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. It is better to say we didn't have anything at all. And then teach it in our textbooks and teach it to our children. So that's one. I can't answer the first question. I really don't know how it started and who started it. Mm-hmm. What I know is that it has become public knowledge that this is not the picture, and therefore the government of Jamaica and the powers that be should make that clear, mm-hmm. and also that if there is no picture, mm-hmm. and if there is no picture, we should then not be saying this is the picture.
Indeed,
there was a big furor about the Stony God statue, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. because there were people who said that it doesn't depict what Bogle looks like. It depicted a short, stocky man, etc. Now, again, we can do better than that. If that's the case, we can do better than that. Mm. We certainly can do better than have Thomas Jennings' this picture up. Mm. Still.
Mm. You know, the fact that Anthony brought up the whole Paul Bogle issue, I'm going to stay on two subject matter that is very concerning in Jamaica. And one of them we dealt with here on Groovin' Radio, that who knew that Sabina Park was a woman? Who knew that the name Sabina Park belongs to an enslaved woman who was convicted of murdering her son because she did not want her son to live in slavery? That wasn't taught anywhere in the school system in Jamaica. And then this,
we learned that recently too, over the last several years.
Right. And we dealt with that subject matter here on Groovin' Radio. And no one at the Kingston Cricket Club, who actually, we are Sabina Park, that cricket grounds has been in the hands of, no one there would like to share any information that they know. And the next thing is about Lady Musgrave. Lady Musgrave Road. And why...
But stop for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabina Park, and I can't speak to who gave the name,
mm-hmm.
but there's a correlation between our masters and cricket, and I don't know if the name has anything to do with that correlation. I'm speculating. I don't know how the name originated, but I learned recently in the last several years too, I suspect just like everybody else, where the name in terms of who Sabina was,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
how the name originated.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that is like a number of other names in the country of Jamaica that were named from our colonial masters. Right now, a letter before my board, for example,
mm-hmm.
that speaks to some names at JC that mm-hmm. we have to look at because right. it comes from our colonial past. And the advocacy now coming from my year group in particular,
mm-hmm.
my class of 78, mm-hmm. wrote saying, Lisa, this particular name has to go because regardless of what it was done in terms of the setup,
mm-hmm.
it symbolizes something that we are now saying, no, we are not going to be, we do not want to be propagating this anymore.
So the
change, I'm not blaming people, I'm just saying the time has come for change.
Indeed, and I'm happy that you brought this subject matter up now, Acting Principal Wayne Robinson at Jamaica College, because there's something that I personally have been talking about for years here on this particular platform, Groovin' Radio, about traditional high schools in Jamaica and the connection that they have to our slave masters, but yet still we continue to perpetrate the fraud and living and teaching our children about the goodness of these people. The conversation this morning here, ladies and gentlemen, on Groovin' Radio, educational reform in Jamaica. Is it now time to rewrite the lessons? And when I ask that question, Mr. Robinson, rewriting the lessons, drafting up new lessons, whose responsibility it is for the lessons that's been taught in the classroom? Whose responsibility that is? Is it the ministry?
It is we are guided by the Ministry of Education. All schools in Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
And especially all public schools are guided by a curriculum
mm-hmm.
set by the Ministry of Education.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability to enrich, tweak,
mm-hmm.
Even reorganize the sequence of the curriculum. But that curriculum is a national curriculum,
mm-hmm.
which we have a responsibility to adhere to. We can enrich it by adding things, and I'll give you an example. At Jamaica College, when we speak of value added, we speak of the courses that we add to the curriculum
mm-hmm.
that bring additional value to our students. So, for example, you hear of robotics, you hear of aviation, you hear of construction, project management. Those are not things that are part of the government's stated curriculum, but
mm-hmm.
we add them because we think they bring more relevance to what the students will need
mm-hmm.
as they leave and go out into the world that we're preparing them for.
Mm-hmm.
And so that value added is an adjustment, a tweak, an enrichment, let's call it that,
mm-hmm.
of the syllabus by the school.
Mm-hmm.
The government, though, sets, for example, these are the areas you're expected to cover in first to third form.
Mm-hmm.
These are this is the content you're expected to cover.
Mm-hmm.
That, though, and but I do think we as schools have, and I think that's what you're alluding to,
mm-hmm.
a responsibility
mm-hmm.
to point out where there is change.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, I one of the things, some songs I taught my son very early, I tried to teach him a lot of Bob Marley and Bird and Spear, so we used to drive and listen to them. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite Bird and Spear is Christopher Columbus, that damn blast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it is so. Mm-hmm. It is what we've learned now. Just like we've learned now that you can't burn people at the stake and you're not going to be dropping off of the horizon, mm-hmm. we have learned things now that must edify our decision.
Mm.
That's all. So again, I'm not cursing anybody, you know. I'm just
saying,
yes, the mm-hmm. time has come mm-hmm. now for change, and that change is not only the responsibility of government, it's a responsibility. Because governments don't necessarily move, you see, unless there's a groundswell.
Right.
That affects their position as government.
Mm.
So when the media pressures, and when the people around them pressure, and when us as technocrats pressure, that's when you will see governments move.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you don't move, they don't move on their own, just like that, something like this.
And you know, the fact that you mentioned it not once, but I think at least two or three times, no, we're not throwing stones at anyone here, folks. What we want is the truth, and we will not step... We will not stop until we get the truth. We want full accountability, because at the end of the day, even the thing that you just mentioned about some things there at Jamaica College, that you guys are saying, no, we're not going to stay with this anymore. Think about this. Over the last couple of years here in these United States, it doesn't matter how big the institution is, whether it was Yale or Harvard or Princeton, or the University of Pennsylvania, they are now cutting ties with colonial slave masters, statues and stuff like that. So why is it that we should stay with it in Jamaica? If these so-called greats...
Again, I spoke about JC, and I'm not here to highlight JC at all. My class of 78, that class has written a letter to the board, and it will be taken up.
Indeed.
I had a discussion with the chairman about... And I don't want to highlight what it is either, but it speaks to the very same thing mm-hmm. that you're speaking to. There are things that must be addressed because we now know what they represent.
Indeed.
And it's simple. We now need to look at... Because if we continue to teach the generations going forward mm-hmm. that Thomas Jennings' representation that we see there is that of Paul Bogle, it's a lie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
so we need to, let's call it not a lie. If you don't want to be as abrasive as I am and say it's a lie.
Mr. Robinson, I think we're having a little phone issue, Anthony, with Mr. Mm-hmm. Robinson. Keep dropping in and out. But it is good that members of his class, I think he said the class of 1978, they have they're trying to address this situation there at Jamaica College. And I think across the Highland of Jamaica, other schools should follow suit and pay attention to what's going on. Because here in the United States, in the city of brotherly love, in Philadelphia, in the state of Pennsylvania, if you don't do Black history, you cannot graduate high school. And we must teach our own story. Our story, not their story, Mr. Robinson. Because if we continue to teach their story, we're going to continue to build a country of misinformed youngsters. Stay where you are, Mr. Robinson. Take a 3-minute break. We're going to come back after the top of the hour, and we will pick up the conversation on the other side of the station break. Our special guest this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is the acting principal of Jamaica College, Mr. Wayne Robinson. The conversation this morning, educational reform in Jamaica. Is it the right time? Mr. Robinson thinks so. That we need education reform. Stay where you are.
Hi, this is Marcy Griffiths.
This is Max Supreme.
This is Mikey Spice.
Listen, Ascensia.
I sing a melody representing
blessed love and honor. This is Janine.
Yo, this is Bunchy Garland, all the way from Trinidad and Tobago.
We're grooving on the radio. The Rasclem, keep it locked, I can't say that.
I'm not sure what you did last Thanksgiving, but let me tell you, I had the door catered for me, and it was the best decision ever made. You know how we knock ourselves out on Thanksgiving, getting the place done right, the decorating and the cooking, and sometimes we set the dinner for six, and it's never six because we're still cooking. I left the catering to the door. My pickup time was at 12. Yes, at noon, every meal left the door's kitchen right to my dining table for dinner at 3, and when you talk about presentation and taste, the turkey and the ham were the most decadent and juicy. After all, I'm talking about the door. It's the same taste you know and trust with a little extra on Thanksgiving. Pick up your catering hot on Thanksgiving Day. Call 718-525-1083. That's 718-525-1083. Let the door do the catering. Thanksgiving dinner will be good. And you take the credit.
It's powerful, it's informative, it's educational with lots of thought-provoking conversations. Yes, it's Groovin' Radio, Saturday morning 9 to 11:30 and Sunday evening 6 to 8, right here on 93.5 WVIP, hosted by Ross Klemm. Join the Groovin' Radio experience and stay one step ahead.
Peace, and this is the Original Chronics representing, and I say, you're listening to Groovin' Radio with the Original Ross Klemm on 93.5 WVIP FM. Keep it grooving, and we will keep it moving all the time, every time. Ease out.
And thank you so much, Chronics. And ladies and gentlemen, that is how I welcome you back to the final 25 minutes of our Groovin' Radio's presentation this Saturday morning. Join the Groovin' Radio experience and stay one step ahead. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. The conversation this morning, is it time for educational reform in Jamaica? Our very special guest this morning is the acting principal of Jamaica College, Mr. Wayne Robinson. Anthony Turner, who is our writer, he is also a part of the conversation. And thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to Groovin' Radio. Welcome back, gentlemen. Welcome back.
Glad to be back.
Thank you so much, Mr. Robinson. Anthony, I'm going to throw the ball in your court in a minute, but let me just start off with this. In Jamaica, it is said, the main concern identified by the Ministry of Education and Culture have been the quality of educational programs, access to educational programs, and inequalities. Mr. Robinson, I would like you to speak on that, because this is coming from the Ministry of Education and Culture, that they have identified the quality of educational program, the access of educational program, and the inequalities of educational program. Speak on that for me, sir.
All right. Before I do, I want to, you asked me something earlier that I'm not sure I completely answered as best as I could, and that is, who is now to make these changes? And we said we all responsibility, but the design of syllabuses and content was spearheaded by the Ministry of Education in conjunction with for upper school where we have our exit exams. Mm-hmm. CXE is the governing body of most of our exit exams, and they work in conjunction with it. And one part of the CXE chair is the Vice Chancellor of the University of the Western Cape. Mm-hmm. So I'm pointing to the changes that are required should be led by government, supported by the institutions that are there, including the University of the West Indies, mm-hmm. who I would suspect will be championing your very same cause. Mm-hmm. We have repositories of our history, the Institute of Jamaica, mm-hmm. the GIS, mm-hmm. the National Library. Mm-hmm. These are repositories of our history. Mm-hmm. I think these are the people or the institutions who should be a part of the redesign mm-hmm. of what we now teach as curriculum. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to be clear that while there was a broad brush that I painted, there are some specific people who, if the CXE syllabus speaks to changes that the University of the West Indies spearheaded, you're going to see that change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, right. Yes, indeed. Indeed.
It is important that the quality that
design.
You're breaking up there. Okay. Tell me if I'm better. Yes, you're better now.
Okay. I have to kind of move around in the place that I am because the reception can be bad.
Stay right there.
So for example, let me just deal with an issue that is topical now on quality.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher migration has hit Jamaica.
Right.
It happened before COVID. COVID kind of retarded it, but it's back again full force. And so we now have to ensure that the quality of the teachers that we have, because we're losing significant. My school alone lost 15 in the last 3 months.
Wow.
And they choose among the best. They target your best in certain subject areas.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to be replacing those teachers. That speaks to quality.
Right.
That speaks to the quality of your delivery and how long that will take. So we have to make sure that we invest in the quality at our teachers' colleges, we invest in the quality of the people. One of the ways to do that is to ensure that they are compensated.
Mm-hmm.
And when people, in other words, you will get people of quality coming in,
mm-hmm.
if they see that when they come in, the job is worthwhile, and they can see their families and make a living, mm-hmm. and also have a future. So that is something that has to be addressed front on. So when we speak of quality, there is no better impact on the quality than the quality of your teacher.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher factor is one of the biggest factors in learning.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that we deal with that teacher factor.
Mm-hmm.
Quality also has to speak to all the other things, infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
That's a serious issue.
Indeed.
Equity,
mm-hmm.
meaning, and availability of education for everybody. Because you live in a certain area,
mm-hmm.
and because you come from a certain topographically, because you come from a certain geography,
mm-hmm.
you should not prevent you from having access to the education. And so the government has the issue of access,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that students, wherever you are,
mm-hmm.
get access to the level of education that can make them prepared for the world they're going to come into.
Anthony, the ball is now in your court.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to throw a two-part question at you, Mr. Robinson. And first, I just want to say I'm not a Rastafarian, but representing the Rasta, it's really the only indigenous religion in Jamaica, the Caribbean, right? I just wanted to know, JC, has any adjustments been made to the religious curriculum in terms of revisiting and revising that curriculum? And you had also mentioned about value-added subject in terms of enrichments to the curriculum. Marcus Messiah Garvey, our first national hero, we continue to downplay his role and his achievements. I just wanted to know, JC, has any revision to the curriculum been made to talk more about Marcus and his teachings?
Well, let's start with Rastafarianism. At first and second form, we have religious education, and part of that is Rastafarianism. We bring and highlight all the religions, including Rastafarianism, and you've mentioned that it is Jamaican and Caribbean as an indigenous religion, and so we teach the tenets. We have students understand what it is about. It is not that we are teaching students to the Rastafarians. We're teaching students about Rastafarianism, just like we teach Judaism and Islam. We teach them about what it entails, what it speaks to, how it originated, etc. So yes, that has been a part of the curriculum and continues to be, and is recognized. We also have a school that is rich with Rastafarians. We have always had Rastafarians. I suspect a lot of schools in Jamaica have that, but I'm speaking of mine, and it's the Rastafarianism. And the culture has always been a part of the school. We have students who are Rastas, and their parents are Rastas. And so that for us is a part of us. It's not even such an adjustment, like it's a part of us.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Garvey,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that we've spent a detailed part of our curriculum teaching the life and works of Marcus Garvey. We spent some time on it recently, because it coincided, of course, with National Heroes Week.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that we've spent
The truth is, because of what Marcus Garvey taught to us, there's probably never going to be enough, and it's something that we have to continue to realize and tweak, because it not just speaks to the life of Marcus Garvey, it speaks to our psyche as black human beings, and the Negro race in particular, and his own tenets of our self-respect and our need.
Mr. Robinson, I think he has moved again, Anthony. But you know, the importance of that question is now this, Anthony. And I think it's kind of really a shame that Jamaica hasn't gone that route yet in terms of Garvey, because one time Minister of Education, the Reverend Ronnie Tweet, when he was the Minister of Education, Anthony, he actually brought that up, that he would implement the teachings of Marcus Garvey in our day-to-day school lessons in Jamaica. That never happened, Anthony. That never happened. So you can speak on that in 2 minutes. While, you know, I'd like to get Mr. Robinson back on to wrap up this conversation this morning. But think about that. You had a Minister of Education who came out and said that he would implement that into the school system, and it never happened. Your thoughts?
Yeah, man. Well, the whole issue of Marcus Garvey, and it's great to have somebody like Mr. Robinson who is telling us that his own child, he's teaching him about the, you know, what Bernard Spear was talking about, Christopher Columbus, and, you know, of course, Bernard Spear is a big advocate for Marcus Garvey. So I think after Mr. Robinson, really what we need is, as you said, the minister spoke about implementing teachings of Garvey. We really need somebody from the Ministry of Education to come and talk about that. And I don't know the role of the CXC and their curriculum, how this is impacting what is taught in our schools, because obviously at the end of the day, whatever is taught in the schools, there's always some sort of examination. And that examination is not just a Jamaican examination, but
indeed,
a Caribbean Council exam.
Mr. Robinson is back for the wrap-up. And we were on the Marcus Garvey teachings. And while you were off the line there, I was mentioning to Anthony that this is kind of just so wrong now, Mr. Robinson, in terms of not having the teachings of Garvey in the school system on a daily basis, because a former Minister of Education, Ronnie Tweet, did promise, the good Reverend Ronnie Tweet did promise, while he was the Minister of Education, that this would have been implemented in our school system. And to date, 60 years of nationhood, years after independence, so-called independence and emancipation, we're still not able to teach the teachings of the world's first global and most powerful black leader ever, Marcus Garvey, to our children. That is absolutely wrong. Your thoughts before we wrap?
Well, my comments before, I'm not sure where I got cut off, but I was indicating that Marcus Garvey is taught. It's just that I'm sure it hasn't been taught enough, and I think that's what you're saying. I don't know that there's been any significant adjustment since former minister made the comments and I'm not sure if there's a promise, but each year for heroes, I know the emphasis is on all our heroes, and it is a part of the curriculum to teach our heroes. But how much of Marcus Garvey's taught is, I think, is the question that I would also ask, that maybe we should look at how we can redesign, because Marcus Garvey's impact is not just about his work as a national hero and his work. It is about our own self-realization as a Negro race, and our own achievement of ourselves together in a collaborative way as a Negro race. So it is a teaching of our character and our courage. Yes, does deserve more than it's getting now, and would.
Mr. Wayne Robinson,
especially school. Early secondary school.
Mr. Wayne Robinson, the acting principal of Jamaica College, I'm going to thank you so much for joining us this morning and having this conversation. I wish we had a better connection, because I can tell you right now, Mr. Robinson, there's a lot of people who are engaged with this presentation this morning. Many folks are engaged with this presentation this morning, and they're commending you on your bravery, you know, because not many principals and not many teachers will take on the subject matter. About 3 weeks ago, we had the privilege of having the opposition spokesman on education, Mr. Damien Crawford. And one of the things that Damien mentioned here is that he would like to see in Jamaica across the board where all lessons that are taught at Campion College and Jamaica College and St. George's College and Woolmer's and all those schools, it should be the same lesson that we teach every single high school in Jamaica. Because when you talk about inequality, and that is the part that we didn't address thoroughly this morning, the inequality and the unbalanced system of the education system in Jamaica, it is totally unfair, because you have students in Jamaica, and I think you may agree and with this one, you have students in Jamaica who have gone through their entire high school in Jamaica, and they cannot totally read and write. They cannot fill an application out. And that is absolutely wrong for us to pass in students just for getting them out of high school. And that is where I am going to leave the conversation. Your closing remarks this morning, Mr. Robinson.
Well, listen, gentlemen, once you can schedule, I am willing to come, because you see, all to talk, and you're going to be able to make a change only if all of us are advocating that change and understand the change. We have a lot of work to do with education, so it's a work in progress. You mentioned a very big issue, and that is the inequity across the system. And so that is a mammoth task. We must put our shoulders to the wheel, talking about the future of our country and the system.
Here we go again, Anthony.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah, indeed. So, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. That was the acting principal of Jamaica College, Mr. Wayne Robinson. A very spirited conversation this morning. A conversation that we should continue, Anthony. And we should continue it for many reasons. Because if we're looking to create a country of critical thinking youths, if we're looking to create a country of youths that are going to grow up knowing the truth, it has to start now. And the principal was brave enough, Anthony, this morning to say from the get-go that he thinks there's no better time. There's no better time than right now to start it. And we need educational reform in Jamaica. Hold the lines 1 second, Anthony Turner. The voice of Tarus Riley. And give us the teachings of Marcus Garvey. We need it. Indeed.
Give us the teaching of Marcus Garvey. Kebranikas means glory of kings. Give I and I, Selassie I, and keep the images of light.
To yourself.
For yourself.
People without a vision.
People without a vision perish like suicide.
Indeed.
You tell me it's not about color. Still you refuse to take the picture off the wall.
How could it be?
All you do is trick the brothers and keep them confused. They don't know who to call on in this spiritual war.
You know, Anthony, there's a war going on. There's an educational war going on. And when you have call for educational reform in Jamaica coming as far away from Ireland and Finland and Singapore, and make no mistake, the new maths that has been taught in school today is Singapore maths. And when you have those people even calling for educational reform in Jamaica, and when the Ministry of Education and Culture can identify that the quality of educational program, the access of educational program, and the inequalities of educational program, it's a problem. It's a problem.
Yes,
real quick, Anthony.
a sin thing we really start this morning, because we're talking about Anthony's son.
Indeed.
I also wanted to find out more about this whole thing with the Maroon, and we've been hearing a lot of information and misinformation. So we probably need even a historian to clarify and clear up some of those.
Wish we had some more times, but we're going to have to run and make room for the next program. Thank you all so much, Anthony Turner. Until later on today. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to that moment where we're going to have to wrap and make room for the next presentation. But before I go, got to say thanks to Cindy Breakspeare for logging on to Groovin' Radio this morning. She celebrated a birthday this past week. Yes, indeed. She was born on October 24th, I think. Legendary, respected, and beloved singer-songwriter and actor, the great Bob Andy, is commander of distinction. He was born on the 28th. Sadly, he left us on the 27th of March, 2020. Legendary, beloved, and respected studio engineer, Lloyd King Jammies James, yes man, celebrated a birthday this past week. Comedian Ronnie Williams of Ronnie and Miss Lou fame, who knew that he was born in Panama. Yes, he died in 1980 at age 67. Respected and beloved Miss World 1976, as I said, Cindy Breakspeare, October 24th. Here we go. Blessed Earth, strong greetings going out to my brother, Yemen, Lenny Orton, celebrating a birthday. I think his birthday is tomorrow. And Olga Beverly will be celebrating a birthday this upcoming Tuesday, I think. Happy birthday, Olga Beverly. Groovin' Radio was executively produced by Clement Hume and Christopher Roberts. Groovin' Radio was hosted by Ras Clem. Contributing to our presentation this morning, we celebrated the music of Meritone, celebrating 72 years. We went inside Meritone Studios and we gave you the music of Jamaica songbird Miss Cynthia Slosh. We were joined in our community engagement segment by Dr. Trevor Dixon from the Jaja Foundation. We got news courtesy of the Jamaica Gleaner, Jamaica Now with Mr. Jovan Johnson. The top stories coming out of Jamaica each and every single week. Anthony Turner brought us entertainment report, and then he provided the bio for our very special Mic Check guest, the principal of Jamaica College, Mr. Wayne Robinson.